Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Jamal with a stroke of genius.
Hello, everybody. My name is Eric. I'm your residential Eagles fan.
I'm Orlando. I'm the resident Cowboys fan.
And this is Birds at the Rodeo podcast, episode 4. That's right, episode 4. We've made it. All right. Thank you all for joining us. I told Lando literally before we started recording this, I'm about to go off real quick. Okay, I know you don't listen, you don't watch college football like that. You don't keep up with it like that, right? And that's fair. But me, I'm a diehard Michigan fan. I'm from Michigan. Go blue all day, every day. But I got something I got to get off my chest, man. Sherrone Moore, our head coach, you, my sir, you have shown me negligence. All right, you've shown me negligence. Okay. Lando, does this even sound remotely right to have a situation where you have two quarterbacks who you know for a fact one of them can't throw, and you know for a fact that the other one hasn't played football in the past like 4 or 5 years? Does that sound like a situation where your quarterback is set, like where you're the most important position on the field? Does that sound like it's set?
Absolutely not.
And yet Sherrone Moore, he walked out here. Coming off the national championship, he walked out here with Davis Warren and Alex Orji.
Why isn't the one guy played in so long?
What guy?
Which quarterback you said hasn't played?
Oh, Davis Warren. Okay, so Davis Warren, and let me preface this by saying, it is admirable the fact that the man can play football again. He had leukemia.
Oh, okay.
He was battling leukemia and everything, right? I'm not discrediting that at all. I'm not discrediting that at all.
No, props for him for fighting back.
Right, but he hasn't played. If you're bad, you're bad. Dude, Davis Warren, legit, this is how it goes with him, right? For every on-script throw he'll make, for every on-script play he'll make, he'll throw a hospital ball or he'll throw an interception. That is legit how it goes. So he got benched after last week. And so this past week, we started Alex Orji, who he has all the physical gifts at a quarterback that you'd want, right? He has the arm strength. He has a cannon for an arm. He can run. He's Josh Allen, but faster. He's literally Josh Allen, but faster, right? But Lando, he can't. He cannot complete a pass, bro. He cannot complete a pass.
Yesterday was his first game.
His first start, yeah.
Or not yesterday, but this past
Saturday.
Game.
It was his first start, yep.
Maybe he was just nervous.
No. We've all known it. Because you know why? Because that's what Michigan does, dog. We recruit the athletes at quarterback who can do it all but can't throw. We had it with Joe Milton. Now we got it with Alex Orji. I'm sick of this, man. I'm so sick of this. And Jaden Davis, our prized recruit that came in this year, right? He redshirted. His parents wanted him to redshirt. I get it. I understand it. Focus on academics, whatever. I get it. But he's out of the picture until next year. Here's the thing. We got two more quarterbacks on the roster right now, Jack Tuttle, Jaden Denegal. I need to see one of them. I need a game manager at quarterback, dog. I'm not asking for J.J. McCarthy. I'm not asking for Tom freaking Brady here. I just need somebody who can make throws. I just need somebody who can facilitate offense. Is that so hard to ask? Is that so hard to ask? Am I tripping? Like, is it me? Like, Sherrone, like, really, dog, is it me? Am I asking for too much? I don't think I am. I really don't think I am. I really don't think I am.
I mean, how did they get all the way to Michigan if they're just that bad?
Well, here's the thing. Alex Orji, he was highly recruited. He's from Texas. He was highly recruited, right? I mean, dude, like, every school wanted him. Nick Saban wanted him to play tight end. Like, you know, I mean, because they see him, he's an athlete, right? And, of course, in high school, right, you put your best athlete in a quarterback, and then you just let him do whatever, right? That's typically how it goes. But Jim Harbaugh, you know, he told him, like, no, like, you know, we'll give you every opportunity to play quarterback in Michigan. And I'm like, okay, yeah, that's great. Can we develop him as a passer? Can we develop him as a passer? I don't know why we lack in that department. But Tom Brady, TB12, the GOAT. Brother, if you ever listen to this, please, like, go help your alma mater. Go teach Alex Orji how to throw. You help Shedeur Sanders. Help somebody at your alma mater, please. Like, I'm begging you, Tom. I'll pay you out of my own personal fund, bro. Please. Like, I need something, dog. I need something. It's going to be tough sledding for Michigan. And, like, I've already mentally prepared myself for it. Like, we got the national championship last year. We got that monkey off our back. Cool. I've mentally prepared myself that it's going to be a bad season. It's going to be a long season this year. I've mentally prepared myself. But, Sharon Moore, you should be ashamed of yourself, man. You should be ashamed of yourself. Coming out here, putting out that bad quarterback play, dude. Like, dude, we didn't even touch the transfer portal for quarterbacks. Like, why? Dylan Gabriel was out there. I mean, there's a whole bunch of dudes out there. We didn't even sniff the transfer portal for quarterbacks. You knew what you had on the roster, and you still let them boys walk out there and made us believe. Shame on you, Sharon Moore. Shame on you. All right. I'm so sorry.
I'm gonna let you go.
I had to get that off my chest, man. I'm sorry. I've been hot about it, man. I work with a Michigan fan. Literally the 7-Eleven by my old house, like, the guy that works there, the cashier, he's a Michigan fan, so I literally drive by that 7-Eleven every day so I can talk to him, right? Like, I have no other business going to that 7-Eleven anymore, but I talk to him because he knows. And I talked to him about it today, earlier today. He knows. It's a travesty. But I digress. All right. Hey, man, it was a busy weekend this past Sunday. It was a lot going on.
Definitely.
It was a lot going on. I'm just going to ask you flat out, man. How you feeling after that game?
I mean, not too bad. I feel like...
Really?
Yeah, I feel like the way... I'm not going to say they made up for the comeback effort.
Mm-hmm.
It was... I mean, it was cool, I guess, to see. But if anything, it's just nice to see some effort. It doesn't completely make up for the performance out there in the first three quarters. Mm-hmm. But so watching the game, I just was like taking notes. And so,
what did you see?
First, right off the bat, Mike Zimmer is done. I'm done with Mike. I'm completely out.
Okay.
From now on, going forward, if our defense gives up more than three touchdowns, it's his fault. If the team gives up three touchdowns and we lose, the loss is on him. I'm blaming him if he can't.
The loss is on him.
I don't know what his game plan is out there. He has people in the completely wrong direction. He has – now there is a part to play to it that effort is a lot of the guys are saying that, and the thing, the people playing hero ball, trying to do too much. Mm-hmm. But I mean, at the end of the day, it starts from the coach putting you in the right place. I'm not seeing that consistently. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing a couple. There are plays where I'm seeing effort be a problem, but there are more plays where I'm seeing people just not being in a position to make a play than I'm seeing them not give too much effort. So it starts with Zimmer. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And a lot of people are going to – I know they'll be like, oh, well, you wanted Dan Quinn gone. But, yeah, I won just because Dan Quinn wasn't working here doesn't mean that bringing in Mike Zimmer was the correct answer.
I mean, Dan Quinn was working better than Mike Zimmer, it seems, right?
But that doesn't mean –
I'm not saying like that you want to keep him, but I'm saying like Dan Quinn, at least he was working some of the time, right?
Dan Quinn, his offense, it seems like both of their defenses, just based off the one game Mike Zimmer's defense did look good. Mm-hmm. It looked like a carbon copy of a Dan Quinn defense in the sense that if they're not getting sacks, if they're not getting picks, mm-hmm. they're getting killed. They're getting ran right on.
So predicated on getting turnovers.
It's the same in that sense. So okay. That's why it's like, just because Dan Quinn wasn't the answer doesn't mean that Mike Zimmer is the answer. We needed somebody else. Mike Zimmer was just the wrong choice.
Yeah. So are you saying like you feel like in Dan Quinn's defense and in Mike Zimmer's defense, like from what you've seen, you feel like your defense has been like overly aggressive in trying to get turnovers, and like that's where y'all get caught slipping?
I feel it's only not in the turnovers in the sense of getting interceptions. It's overly aggressive with getting sacks. Mm-hmm. I think that they attack so much they just kind of take everybody out of position. Did y'all
blitz a lot in this game against Baltimore?
It's not about blitzing. It's just that sometimes the defensive end isn't supposed to go for a sack. Sometimes the defensive end is there to set the edge and play it. And so people aren't just filling gaps. They're just the four down on the line. They're just not straight to because they're not actually getting there. Mm. So they're trying to get there, and it's not letting them be in position to do anything else.
Yeah.
So that was right off the back, Mike. I'm sick of what I'm seeing from our defense. I don't know what he can do to
fix this.
Because I've seen these players make plays. Mm-hmm. So it's not that they can't do it. So that makes me – it's the position. Like, even with the sacks.
At that point, you would assume it's coaching.
You can scheme up different blitzes, different things like that to get players sacked. It's not all about a player just one-on-one dominating and Micah beating the double team and getting – or DeMarcus Lawrence. It's like –
and sometimes, I don't mean to cut you off, but sometimes, coaches, they overcomplicate things.
Right. No, that's definitely a thing.
Is that what you feel like is happening here?
No, I think it's too simplified. Okay. It's direct. Just go get the quarterback and don't think about anything else. So, right off the bat, Mike Zimmer's done. Going over to our offense, the run scheme is deplorable. I don't think our running back room is that bad. It's the plays we run. Even if we would have signed Derrick Henry, I think he'd have a hard time getting yardage, running the plays we're running. It's straight up running on first down, running on second down, running straight up the middle.
Would you call it third and Dak?
I don't even know what they're doing right now, honestly. Because even offensively, even when we're throwing the ball, it's not even where our route tree is. I've never seen.
Y'all don't have an offensive coordinator by name, right? It's Mike McCarthy, right?
Oh no, Mike McCarthy is our play caller right now. It's the.
But y'all don't have an offensive coordinator in name. It's McCarthy.
Brian Schottenheimer.
Okay.
Yeah, but McCarthy is the play caller. So the run scheme, it's insane. We're running Deuce Vaughn straight up the middle. He's Emmitt Smith.
Our friend Jamal has something to say about that too. Because he was like, and it's funny because I was talking to him last night and he was basically like we need to use Deuce Vaughn like how the Chargers use Darius Rolls.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I hear you. But me personally, I feel like the Cowboys issues are much bigger than how you're using Deuce Vaughn.
That's a part of it. Big part of our run game because he's one of our running back by committee, mm-hmm. and we're using him wrong. We're running. Our run plays are so predictable. We're not trying to get to the outside. Maybe that might be the ability to issue there. The running backs might not be good enough to get outside. But running them straight up the middle isn't helping anything on first down. Mm-hmm. I mean, specifically, I wrote it down. There was a play and. One thing about the Cowboys, I'm going to bring it up later. I remember I said I was going to have the holding count, but that's that's the thing in itself. But I can't admit 1,000% the Cowboys are the most undisciplined team ever watched. Yeah. It's infuriating. But what's even more infuriating is we don't play according to that. If you know your offense is going to get penalties, And it's first and 10. They get a holding penalty. Now it's first and 20. Don't run the same play you were running on first and 10. It's not first and 10 anymore. You don't run the ball up the middle on first and 20 when you're dang near in the red zone.
Right, right.
Like, you can stick like that. We let penalties, like, if I might have said this already, but when the Cowboys get penalties on offense, if they're in field goal, if they're not in field goal range, you might as well just punt it right there, because they're not. They almost never make the yardage up because they don't change their play call up to play according to that.
Yeah.
And if they are in field goal range, you might as well just kick the field goal because they're not going to make the. They're not going to. They. I don't know what it is. They. Mm. The play calling is atrocious. It's not even just the run scheme. Mm. Going over to the passing game, our route tree is so small. It's a freaking shrub. We don't have a route tree. We have a route shrub.
A route shrub.
They run slants, comeback slants and comebacks right at the sticks or straight streak.
Yeah.
They don't do – there's no crossers. There's nothing. Or if they are – there's so many – I've seen so many film cuts of receivers being in the exact same area, which is something that we dealt with last year and the year with Kellen Moore. I don't know what it is about the play callers who are having that. It's so – you can look across the league and see it's not that difficult
to get guys open.
Right. It's the same thing with the sacks. Not everything is just, you being better than the guy across from you. There's creativity that comes into play that's got to be able to get these guys open.
Right.
CeeDee Lamb being last in the league, or dang near last in the league in separation, is not okay. It's not – he's good in the – it's not just because he's not good enough.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
The wide receiver room as a whole being worse than the league in separation. It comes down to Mike McCarthy. Mm-hmm. And it then showed itself when the game, when we did nothing for three quarters, and then when they decided to stop letting Mike McCarthy run plays, have complete control of the offense, we scored.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing, Mike Zimmer's done. I want to, like, our defense was the biggest reason we lost this game.
Mm-hmm.
But the second biggest reason, I'm looking straight at you, dog, CeeDee Lamb. I'm not going to call him what I was calling him on Sunday. But the way
his whole attitude was just,
his attitude, the effort he showed, it was unacceptable.
Yeah.
We just cannot have that from an all-pro franchise player.
The guy you just paid.
That's not okay. It's just not paid. Just a passion thing. I get you. You care. You want, but there's better ways to show it. He's already came out and apologized.
Said he did.
His emotions got the best of him, but
the damage is done.
Right. Everyone's gonna see that. That's
so. What do you say? What do you say to, like? Because Micah and DeMarcus Lawrence, they were getting into it too. So what do you say to that? Because I didn't hear what was said, but like apparently DeMarcus Lawrence was telling Micah, like, you ain't doing nothing, so shut up, basically.
They were both telling each other that, which is true. I'm more okay with that than a receiver, like, begging for the ball when he's not giving effort.
Yeah.
When he's dropping the ball.
I didn't watch most of the games. So, like, what did you see from CD on the field?
Drops. He fumbled in the red zone on a drive where we, at worst, get 3 points. In a game, we lost by 3 points.
Right.
Now, and then I just – now, in the game, there were times where I didn't really – you just kind of – when plays were being made, you didn't see him. And then now looking – but when you see the film, you see he was literally out there jogging, not even running routes, not even giving any effort out there.
Right.
That comeback was all because of Dak Prescott. He was making plays to our fullback, our wide receiver four, our wide receiver five. Like, CeeDee literally left him out there to dry. When everybody knows he's our only weapon that's of that caliber. Obviously, the team, Jake Ferguson's good, Brandon Cooks, but CeeDee is on a different level.
He's just a guy.
And he completely left Dak out there to dry. So I'm gonna accept his apology.
But like, yeah, never again.
That, we cannot have that.
Have you ever seen him like display that before?
Yeah, it happened last year against the 49ers.
Oh,
and
did it?
He after that win and had a conversation with McCarthy, and then that was the exact moment our offense completely turned around.
Oh, you know what? I think I remember that. Yeah.
It was a similar situation. It was less. animated. He was kind of just standing off more to the side, right, not being engaged with the team.
Right.
Kind of showing that kind of emotion. But like you said, after that game, went and had a conversation with McCarthy. Mm. They completely did a 180 with the offense. And
right.
Went on to have an all-pro season from him and Dak. So
right. So you chalk up this loss to defense, poor defensive scheming and play calling, poor offensive play calling, and lack of effort just all around.
Lack of effort from CD specifically, but our offensive line.
I was about to ask you, man, because as much praise as you gave Cooper Beebe and Tyler Guyton, they looked like they were getting worked on Sunday.
I mean, they deserved the praise when I was giving it to them, and they don't anymore. You can't say they've progressed.
I mean, Baltimore's a good defense. I'm not taking anything away from them, but
right. You can't, I don't know. I won't say these guys regress. They're rookies, but what they showed in their first career games has not transitioned in the next two games.
Are you a little worried about anybody on the line?
No, because they're rookies, so it's not. Well, like, I mean, they
not,
can't.
Not even just them. I'm talking about the whole line.
Terrence Steele is still Terrence Steele. He's the only one I'm worried about.
He's the liability.
I see, that's the thing. They played so well in the first game.
It didn't look like it.
No, I'm saying they played the rookies played so well in the first game. Right. I gave them so much praise, but that was. They exceeded expectations.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of you expect rookies to play in this because they're not playing awful. They're not just giving us nothing. They are giving up pressures, giving up a couple sacks, but that's what
that's expected for rookie linemen. Unless like you're just
yes at this. You know. I'm saying they in the first game they exceeded expectations. Now they're just kind of meeting them.
I won't
be worried unless it was Terrence Steele bad across the board.
Listen, I'm gonna say this right now because y'all play Thursday against the Giants. If y'all giving up sacks to the Giants like that, it might be time.
Oh man, I'm not worried about that.
No. I'm saying like if the Cowboys O line give up like big sacks to the Giants, it might be time because the Giants. I know they won last week, but
They have a good D lineman.
Yeah.
If Cooper Beebe gets beat by Dexter Lawrence,
I'll give you Dexter Lawrence, but like Kayvon Thibodeau, he seems like he's a bust. Brian Burns, it seems like he's been infected with the Giants curse because he ain't done nothing since getting traded there. But maybe I'm wrong. So you chalk it up to poor defensive and offensive play calling and scheming, lack of effort on CD and a little bit on the defense. And
another specific defensive player, I'm not on the team or a part of the team. I can point fingers. Donovan Wilson had a terrible game.
Oh, did he?
He's played bad in both the last two games.
Okay.
It's getting really bad,
Is he giving up big plays? Like, is he letting the plays get behind him?
He's letting plays get behind him, missing tackles, not giving a lot of effort.
Mm-hmm.
We are definitely missing De'Ron Bland, Kalen Carson. Like I said, had a great first game.
He's really starting to come back down to earth. Now, right?
He didn't have an awful game. He missed a tackle, which led.
Did he give up a touchdown?
I think Nelson Aguilar scored. If he didn't score, it wasn't. It wasn't a big play until he missed the tackle.
Right. Yeah. No.
So he was on. It was a completion. He gave up the catch, but he was on it and just kind of
he
overplayed it. Went too aggressive and missed the tackle.
Right.
It was giving Nelson Aguilar the big gain, but
right.
So I don't. I mean, he gave it up, so it's not. I am going to hold it against him, but it's like that's not just an ability thing. He can make that tackle.
Right.
Right. So right. I'm not just going to say that's something that'll just happen all the time.
Mm.
And now that everyone definitely saw him get stiff-armed into the earth by Derrick Henry, but again,
him and everybody else, right?
He's a rookie, and that's Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry's stiff arm highlight reel is so long.
Exactly, he's on a list with a lot of names, a lot of great NFL players.
Right?
So.
Yeah, no, come on, bro. Like, so
those are two big plays, but he didn't have. Those are the only plays that you really heard his name. As a corner, you don't really want to hear your name, but that's
if you don't hear your name as a corner, you're doing a good job.
Right. So he didn't have the worst game, but that's why I'm just not
So you're not you don't sound like you're that phased right now.
No, I'm really not. I think because it's a scheme thing, it can be fixed.
So when do you start to hit the panic button?
Oh, if they lose, well, I don't see. I'm not saying I think they will. I think they'll beat the Giants by at least 3 touchdowns.
Uh-huh.
But now, if they were to lose to the Giants, of course, the season's over.
If y'all lose to the Giants Thursday night,
season's over.
So let's say y'all win, but it's sloppy.
It'll be fine. A win is a win.
So as long as y'all come out of the Thursday night's game with a win, you're fine.
Yes, but this is almost like a lose-lose for them. I've already said they won't even get a good job for me if they do beat the Giants by 3 touchdowns. This game means game means absolutely nothing for the Dallas Cowboys. In a positive sense, where if they win means nothing. They have everything to lose.
This should be a fix-it game for y'all.
Right.
It should be a fix-it game.
Exactly. And so if it doesn't look like we're the much better team, it can still be fixable. That's why I said if they come out, as long as they come out with the win, it can be built upon. But no, if they lose this game, the season's done.
Okay. So if they come out with a sloppy victory, like they win 17-14.
Yeah,
they can, and you still have all the same issues you just talked about. You're feeling fine.
Well, if they have the same issues, it won't be 17-14. It'll be forty to whatever, however much that puts up.
I'm just saying, if you feel like the same issues, like rear its ugly head, right? But they still win. They still find a way to win against the Giants, right? You're fine as long as they come out with a victory. You're fine.
Yes, because it can still be like the win in the column is all they need.
Yeah. Is it in Dallas?
No, I think we're in.
That might be what y'all need, right? Because at home, man.
We've lost our last 3 home games.
I don't know what's going on. That was
I don't think there's much correlation to this last home game. The first two, I think that's like. Those were
dating back to the playoff game.
Yeah, the playoff game, right. And then the Saints game. I think that's really bad. But I think this Ravens game was almost predictable. In the sense of what their offense was going to do.
Baltimore, you mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Our offense, I think, was fine.
Y'all moved the ball initially.
We were fine. We had multiple plays that just kind of killed us. We had the CD fumble, and like I said, in the red zone.
Yep.
And then right before half, we literally had a pass interference on the 1 yard line, which would have put us on the 1 yard line. Yeah.
Hey, I didn't see that.
But we had a holding call negate that.
Yeah.
Which I can, since I just mentioned it, I can bring it up. The Cowboys had 3 holding calls, 2 of them actually. So that one took points away. And the fumble CD had actually was the play right before that. We were already down in running territory.
Right.
So
you don't think y'all should have even been thrown right there?
Well, we wouldn't have if we didn't.
If you didn't think you were going to get a holding call?
We got a holding call. Right. And backed us up. And then it was like second or third. It ended up being like second or third and 20.
Right.
And then he fumbled. And even though he converted.
Yeah.
So, and then we had 3 total. And then the Ravens had 1 holding call in garbage time. I said this. It wasn't garbage time. It was just in like the third or fourth quarter. But it was on a 2-yard loss.
Yeah, I'm gonna say this too real quick, and we can agree to disagree on this, but I personally do not think that was roughing the passer on Adafe Owe, I believe that's his name. I mean, he wrapped up Dak by the legs, bro. I'm sorry. I don't think that was roughing the passer. That's my personal opinion.
I think it was if that's what roughing the passer is, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and that's a bigger discussion, right? Because it's a whole bunch. Yeah. Like, you can't hit the quarterback now.
I don't think that should be roughing the passer.
I don't think that should come. Right. Right.
If
that's the rule, that's the rule.
Yeah.
I don't think that. If that's how the rule is defined, though, I think they need to redefine it.
I agree that they've added so many stipulations to it, and never this guy's
ridiculous.
You can't touch
him. Chris Jones, did you see that play Sunday night?
I think so.
Dude, that was not rough on the passer.
Yeah.
That was like I felt Chris Jones. I felt his pain on that play. But real quick, I'm going to touch on Baltimore real quick. I ain't going to lie. And I hear everything you said. And it's funny that you are the one cool, calm, and collected Cowboys fan I know. Because everybody else is like, they're either done with it or they're just like so infuriated by everything. But hey, whatever. That's you. If you're a Baltimore Ravens fan, you need to be very, very worried. Because that shouldn't have even been a football game, dog. I don't know what happened. And, I mean, you tell me because I didn't watch most of the game. Like, do you feel like Baltimore let their foot off the gas in the second half?
Absolutely. They were playing the same defense.
See, like, come on, dude. Like,
we just were running a better – we started running a better offense.
This is the NFL. There is no letting your foot off the gas. Look what happened last night. Buffalo waxed Jacksonville. Josh Allen said, nah, dog, this is my time. This is the NFL, man. You never let your foot off the gas in the NFL. You never do that. Because Baltimore, you almost lost. You almost lost. You were almost sitting here 0-3 like the Bengals.
We were one stop away. I already called my brother. We were down by three. If they would have got that stop, they were losing that game.
Right.
But we weren't coming out of there with Dak was scoring another touchdown. That one might have went to freaking Luke Schumacher. He was slinging that thing to everybody, but CD. He didn't need him.
Dude, yeah. If you're a Baltimore Ravens fan, you need to be worried, because that shouldn't have even been a game. And I'm gonna just leave it at that. Like, I'm not saying John Harbaugh's not a good head coach. I'm not. I think y'all peaked with him when y'all won the Super Bowl with him, and I think y'all reached like the best you're gonna get with him. Me personally. And so yeah, man, I'll leave it at that. If you're a Baltimore Ravens fan, you need to be worried a little bit, because that shouldn't have happened, bro. That game should have been over and done with. There shouldn't have been no talk of Dallas almost coming back.
And the last thing I'll say about the game is, like I said earlier, the only reason we even came back is because of Dak. And when I say we need to straight up give him complete control of this offense,
uh-huh,
or with this team has no chance.
Or maybe Mike McCarthy gives up play calling duties.
I don't know.
I mean, that's not gonna happen. But
I mean, I don't know what Brian Schottenheimer can do, but I've seen what Dak can do. Hey, give it to him. Let's go from there.
Right.
Put it on. He's y'all paid. Make it on him.
You said put it on Forrest's back.
Right.
Put it on Forrest's back.
It'd be different if he hadn't shown the ability to do it. I wouldn't be if he. Because the thing is, what we're doing now is clearly not working.
Yeah.
We've seen instances of this, of what I'm asking for, that completely control of the offense working.
Mm-hmm.
So why not give it a try? If it doesn't work, I'll be the first to say I was wrong.
Right,
but
right.
What we're doing right now clearly isn't working. And right. This has shown glimpses of being able to work.
Right.
So what we're doing now has got to change. We got to – I say give Dak complete control of offense. He looked like Peyton Manning out there. He was – the way he was controlling the offense,
right,
changing things up at the line, calling out coverages, calling out blitzers, doing – I mean, he looked like the veteran quarterback we paid him to be.
Right.
So let him to be that.
I mean, you wonder at that point, you bring that point up, and I'm sitting there asking myself, like, I wonder how involved Dak is in the, like, offensive play, like, in the offensive game planning. You know what I'm saying? Because if you're telling me you see one thing when Mike McCarthy's out there calling plays, and you see another thing when Dak is kind of like, you know, free scripting it, right? I mean, I got to ask, like, well, how involved, how collaborative is that process?
I don't think it's very collaborative at all. I think right. Mike McCarthy, especially with the way the situation unfolded with Kellen Moore leaving,
uh-huh,
I think Mike McCarthy knew his days were numbered. Obviously, he survived last year, but I think this will definitely be his last year.
Mm.
If things don't improve in the playoffs, the regular season really won't matter unless it gets worse.
Unless you don't fix it.
So I think once that whole thing kind of unfolded and it became his offense, I think he, with his days being numbered, he wanted to, in his eyes, it's like, if I'm going out, I'm going out my way.
Yep.
I'm not having this. I think he did pick Schottenheimer to come in, but I think it's more of a collaboration between them two.
It's his show.
Yeah,
it's his show.
That's another reason why I don't think he's just like a yes man. I think he still wants to take. I think he still has his own. What's the word?
Like it's his way or the highway.
Yeah, he just like everybody has their own like different.
Yeah, I guess like when I referred to him as yes man, what was that episode? I think episode two. Maybe I need to change the definition. I just feel like I feel like whatever Jerry Jones like whatever he wants like he's gonna get out of his head coach, whether that's a good thing or but you know what I'm saying like it's not necessarily like Jerry says go do this yes Jerry, but like whatever he wants out of that head coach position, like he's gonna get from Mike McCarthy, whatever that may be. Like whether he wants Mike falling on the sword, maybe he should be right because I mean if you're saying the play calling is as bad as it looks and it appears to be, and he's the man running the show, right? Like Brian Schottenheimer's not calling the plays, right? This is you, so yeah, you should fall on the sword for that. But like that, I guess that's what I meant when I said that, honestly. I'll say this too about Mike McCarthy. Remember him and Aaron Rodgers, like. They had a whole falling out because Aaron Rodgers, and I quote, said, Mike McCarthy's offense is archaic.
Yeah. I use that word all the time when I right? describe like, our
like,
players.
So, like, I mean, Aaron Rodgers said that, and they won a Super Bowl together. So, you take that how you will.
And at this point, that was almost 10 years ago when he said that.
Yep.
So, if his offense was archaic then, what do you...
Right.
I mean, you can only imagine what it's like now.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, he probably won't give Brian Schottenheimer a shot because it's like, that's the thing, man. These head coaches, these football players, they got ego, dog. Like, right? Like, no, it's my show. Like you said, if his team's gonna go down losing, they gonna go down losing his way. Which, I guess there's a little bit of respect in that, but there's also like a definition of insanity. Like you keep doing the same thing over and over again, and expecting a different result. So
the word I was looking for motives. Everybody has different motives. Like his motives might be, everybody might have the main goal to win. But like I said, there's different. Jerry wants to win his way. Mike wants to win his way.
Right.
And I think the players get kind of caught in the middle.
If you are not all on the same page, whether that's the front office, the owners, the coaches, the players, right? If y'all are not all four on the, like all those levels are not on the same page and are a cohesive unit, it's gonna look bad, man. It's gonna look bad.
Yeah, but it can improve.
No. It's only week three.
That's another thing.
It's only week three.
Yeah, I don't understand how anybody could.
No, I mean, I can see it, but like, and I'll say it again, like you are the most rational Cowboys fan I've interacted with. So, hey, kudos to you. Maybe you'll ride the wave out and you'll see it on the other side.
And it's just because I watch other teams. I feel like a lot of Cowboys fans watch the Cowboys and then just completely turn off other games. So they'll see a team won. They might look at the box. They might see that a team won in the win-loss column, but not really.
Y'all are not the worst team in the league. Like that.
We're not even the good teams that people are like. I've seen people say that our next home games are against the Texans. I know the Lions are in there, but just based the Texans, people are terrified of the Texans right now. The Texans just lost.
They just got waxed. Which
34-7.
We're talking about that later. But yeah, they got waxed.
It's like that's why I think people see they watch our team because they're Cowboys fans. I don't know how other fan bases are to their own team, but right. So I think they watch our games and kind of get tunnel vision and don't see. That other teams aren't perfect. We're not the only team with flaws. We're not the only team that has holes to exploit. We're not the only team that is beatable.
No.
So I just think that's kind of where my position is. It's like, yeah, we do have our problems, but the same way we have problems, other teams have problems that we can exploit.
Mm-hmm.
And we can. It's like that's why this is a game of football. It's not just black and white. I feel like it's not just any given Sunday, but I think there's a lot more preparation and planning that goes into it that people...
I mean...
I think if people watched a lot more football, they would be a lot less dramatic.
I think... See, it's interesting because, like, I take your point. Like, y'all heard me when we first started the episode. I went off about my Michigan football team, man. And I had a whole thing. Like, I literally typed out a whole notes rant and posted it on Bleacher Report, right? And, I mean, everything I said was factual. Like, I'm not going to get into it, but, like, it was factual. Anybody who follows me on social media or any of my friends, I sent it to you. Like, y'all know. Y'all know what I said. And, like, dudes were literally commenting to me talking about I have no joy. And you know what I said to them? I said, I have perspective. Because there's no way you watched us beat USC, who, by the way, I don't know why everybody's so hyped about USC like they're a great team, whatever, but there's no way you watched that game and said, oh my God, Michigan, we're going to repeat as champs. Oh my God, like we're gonna run it back. No, no. And if you did think that, real talk, if you did think that, bro, just tell me you don't know ball. Because there's no way you watched that performance on the field and are sitting here telling me you feel great. There's no way. So, I take your point, man. I do. I take your point. And, I mean, you could always be the Giants. You could always be the Jaguars. You could always be the Browns. You could always be – who else? Is there a bad team I'm missing right now? I can't think of anybody. I think those are the top three, right?
Yeah.
I don't think I'm missing anybody. So, I mean, it could always be worse. And, I mean, I do get that. It could always be worse. Okay, that was Dallas's game. I'm gonna get into Philly's game, man. Now you said you took notes on Philly's game.
Yeah, I watched the whole game and just like same way. Was just when I noticed things.
So I want to hear what you noticed first before I get my piece. What did you notice?
So that game went kind of exactly how I thought the Cowboys game was going to go, like right off the bat.
Y'all playing the Saints.
Yeah, off the bat, because I remember against the Panthers, I remember saying that what they were doing on defense was very obvious. They didn't really disguise much.
Uh-huh.
And the very first drive against y'all, that it ended with the most obvious corner blitz I've ever seen in my entire life.
When that happened, I was like, dog, Kellen Moore, you know they're going to send Alante Taylor on that blitz, bro. You know that. I don't know what happened there.
He literally just almost lined up.
No, it wasn't.
Like,
it literally wasn't.
So, I'm not.
That's literally, I don't know who the Saints offensive play call. I forgot who their offensive coordinator is, but that's him telling you, like, all right, bro, I know. Or the defensive play call, I'm sorry. I know you know it's coming, and I know you're not going to stop it.
Yeah.
Right? So, kudos to them on that one play they made.
You know.
That's right. All they got, though.
Right. No, for sure. That was one of the most baffling end-of-the-quarter decisions I've ever seen in my life.
What are you referring to? Nick Sirianni?
Yes, when he went for it. Even
Here
if you pick
go.
Up the first,
Here
you're
we go.
Still almost guaranteed to only kick a field goal.
Here we
Why
go.
Not? Kick the field goal.
Do you want to hear my honest thoughts on that?
Yeah.
The one at the end of the half, I understand his rationale. I'm not saying I wouldn't have kicked the field goal, but I understand. Because in my head, here's what I think. Because let me say this too, Nick Sirianni. Because, hey, I'm always listening. I don't know if you do, but I always listen to all the press conferences, all the coaches and coordinators talk. Like, I literally have it, like, notifications on my phone. So, like, when I'm at work, I'm listening to it. Like, I'm tapped in, bro.
I do that for my team.
Nick
for sure.
Sirianni over here having an attitude with the media, asking him about the question. I'm like, don't get an attitude about us asking you about the question, about the decision you made.
Oh, yeah. CD didn't even talk to the media.
Don't get an attitude with us.
Mike definitely caught a little attitude
right,
this week.
Like,
yeah.
Dude, you keep doing this, and we're going to keep asking you about it. Don't get an attitude with us about it. Nick Sirianni, right. Don't act like I didn't see that, bro. All right? I know I'm not the only one that saw that. Man, let's catch an attitude, get it mad because we're asking you about the decisions you made.
Right.
Come on, man. But, no, I understand his rationale for before the end of the half because, like, we were getting the ball back to start the second half. So, in my mind, I'm thinking in his head, he's thinking, we score here, we double dip, right? I get that. So like I wasn't even like mad at that, but man, the second one.
I don't know, but okay, because on the first one,
uh huh,
the chances of y'all scoring a touchdown aren't that, because y'all had, the thing is, y'all ran it. Mm-hmm. So even if y'all pick it up, the clock still runs with like 5-6 seconds left. So y'all have one.
We had one shot at the end zone. One shot.
Again, and then if y'all might even, there's the one shot is like y'all. Right. Y'all still have a chance to kick the field goal, most likely, but. I just think there was no point.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just
especially
saying
because y'all didn't get any points from it.
Right. Again, I'm not disagreeing with you. All I'm saying is I understood his rationale. That's all I'm saying.
Well, okay, but go to the second one.
But the second one. Yeah, no, that's horrible, dude. That's horrible.
I wrote after the second one, I said he's, at this point, he's coaching himself out of a job.
Dude, first of all, what was even that? What was that fake tush push, bro? If you go run the tush push, run the tush push.
Right.
Like, come on, dog. You trying to bounce Saquon on the outside like that? What? Come on, man.
Right.
Just do it. They haven't been able to stop it. Just do it, Nick. All right. No, that second one was atrocious, bro. I have no excuse for that one. And I'm going to say this, too. I was mad. I was pissed when he said he trotted out Jake Elliott out there to kick that 61-yarder. Now, granted, has he made a 61-yarder before? Yeah, but like, come on, man. Out of all the times you decide, yeah, Jake, go out there. That's
now
the one.
I'll come out.
Right.
Out
come
there,
on,
right.
Dude. So, hey, look. Listen. Nick Sirianni's seat got hotter. I'm not arguing against that at all. It got hotter. His game management is questionable at best right now. I'm not arguing against that. I'm not. And again, I said it before and I'll say it again. I'm not saying I want Bill Belichick. But I'm just saying Nick Sirianni's seat is getting hotter. And if he doesn't fix this soon, like now, like, I mean, like yesterday, yeah, it's going to be a cold day in Philadelphia for him come the offseason.
I agree.
It's going to be a cold day.
Nah, I don't know if it's Nick or if it's Kellen, but y'all not using Saquon more
in the first half, dude. That's Kellen,
insane,
man.
To me.
That's Kellen. What did I tell you? What did I tell you when we signed him? I said the one thing, because Kellen Moore didn't run the football that much. So I don't.
That was something him and Mike butted heads about. Mike,
dude, I just
is so dead set on running the ball.
Right.
Somebody needs to come in and be the middle ground between it, because Kellen didn't run it enough. Mike runs it too much.
Right.
We need,
dude, here's the thing. Like, if you're Nick Sirianni, you're the head coach, right? Like, dude, you got the ultimate autonomy, right? Like, if Kellen Moore or Vic Fangio, if they call a play you don't like, you can say, no, we're not doing that here.
Right.
And I mean, I would hope that you have a good enough relationship with your coordinators that, like, they're not going to get butthurt by it. Right, we're all grown men. We're all here trying to feed our families. We're all trying to win a football game here, right? God dang! Listen, dude, you got Saquon Barkley back there. He's an All-Pro running back. Dog, just give him the ball.
I literally said Kellen Moore and Nick Sirianni are such bad coaches in this game that their best available wide receiver getting hurt almost helped the team. Because I don't think they would have even given, because Saquon scored on the very next play.
He literally
and
did.
I don't think he would have even gotten the ball in that scenario had it, because he hadn't really been getting the ball.
I'm gonna say this too. Unpopular opinion. I don't think that was a dirty hit on Devontae Smith. Me personally,
I don't think it was.
I think it was a bang bang play. I don't think the guy was trying to take him out. I mean, listen. You played football for a little bit. I played football in high school, middle school. Listen, you're taught until that whistle blows, you go full throttle.
Right.
And Devontae was still standing up. There was still a play to be made, possibly. So, you know, obviously you don't want to see somebody get hurt, especially, I mean, I got Devontae's jersey, man. He's one of my favorite players. So, yeah, obviously you don't want to see him go down to injury. You don't want to see anybody go down to injury, but I don't think that was a dirty hit. I just wanted to say that real quick. But, no, I mean, the thing was, like, we would give Saquon the ball sparingly, and when he'd get the ball, what would he do? He'd get 3, 4, 5. He'd get a few 10-yard runs here and there. Like, dude, we were gashing the Saints' defense. And I always come back to this, right? Like, coaches try to get too cute, dog. Like, when it's – you don't need to. If you got an all-pro running back there, you know what you should do? Give him the football, right? Like, it's literally that simple. I don't know why dudes try to, and that's the thing, because everybody's trying to get hired, everybody's trying to be the next Sean McVay and all this and that, dude. Like, just do your job, man. You know who I respect? I respect, what's his name, Bobby Slowick, the Texans offensive coordinator, because, I mean, shoot, after last year, right, you got C.J. Stroud out here balling as a rookie. You got the best offense in football, arguably, right?
I actually called the offense predictable about a day or two before they went out and scored 7 points.
You talking about Houston?
Yep.
Well, I'm talking about last year, though.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about last year. I just wanted to brag a little bit. This guy here. Yeah, I'm talking about last year, though. I mean, you know, he had a whole bunch of, you know, head coaching interviews and everything, but he said, no, you know what? Like, we building something here in Houston. I respect that because that also helps elevate his status. So, yeah, look, man, Kellen Moore, again, we just got to find a balance, man. All right, it shouldn't take to the second half to get Saquon going, man. It really shouldn't. But what I did like is though, he did do what I asked in terms of spreading the ball out more. Dallas had a heck of a game,
right?
Jahan Dawson even got a few looks. Johnny Wilson got a few looks. Like we were spreading the ball out. Now, granted, I mean, you could argue because of the injury we had to do that, but like, regardless, we were spreading the ball out, which I like. Now let me say this about one man, Jalen Hurts. That game is exactly why I believe in him long term. That Saquon Barkley said this. I didn't say this. Saquon Barkley said this. He said that is the most poised man I have ever met in my life. He didn't say player. He said man. All right. Jalen Hurts does not get rattled, dog. It don't matter what happened. He had a – to be honest, the interception, I'm not sure if that's more on Devontae or him. I mean, it was a bad turnover regardless, but, like, I don't know if that's more on him or Devontae. That fumble was horrible. You can't have that there. But he did not flinch. He only came back out there and played a heck of a game after that, bro. Right? He had every reason to just – wither down and oh man, it's over. I'm over here throwing picks. I'm fumbling the ball. What's going on? Right? No. Jalen Hurts stood in there, made plays. All right. Now, granted, it's like, because somebody on Bleacher Report was like, I was like, Jalen Hurts, I literally said, like, Jalen Hurts' response to adversity, like, that's why I believe in him long term. And then somebody made the point of, like, yeah, but it shouldn't take him responding to adversity. And I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, like, I hear what you're saying. Like, yeah, he should, like, the turnovers, we got to cut down on the turnovers. I'm not arguing that. But at least we know we got a guy who doesn't get rattled, right? Because let's be real, this is football, man. Adversity is going to happen in almost every game, right? Somebody's going to make a bad play. Something's going to happen. Something's not going to go your way. And you got to bounce back. You got to respond, right? So I want that out of my quarterback. I want that out of my leader of the team, all right? We I've said it before and I'll say it again. We go where one goes. All right. As long as Jalen Hurts plays his game, I'm telling you, I don't care. We're in it with anybody, dog. I don't care. All right. I'm gonna stand on that. I'm believing that. That is my quarterback. That is my guy. All right. Now, yes. So we still need to get things cleaned up on offense. I'm not arguing that. But I'm feeling optimistically, or I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. Defense. Shout out Vic Fangio. Shout out Jalen Carter. Shout out Jordan. What I tell you, dog? I literally said, Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter, bro. As long as they do their job, we are straight. And Vic Fangio, it's funny because, like, you felt like it was too simple for y'all's defense. Vic Fangio simplified it for us. We played in our base defensive front for most of the game, and it worked like a charm. It worked like a charm. I still didn't get nothing from Bryce Huff, but that's okay. That's okay because I'm getting something from everybody else. And we started taking Bryce Huff off of we started taking him out on pass rush plays because he just – I don't know what it is, man. I don't know. I don't know what it is with him, but – nah, man. Shout out to the defense. They played a heck of a game. Shout out Reed Blankenship for making that play. I didn't think he caught that interception, but shout out to Reed Blankenship for making that play. Shout out to Vic Fangio for scheming up a hell of a game plan. Shout out to Jalen Hurts for staying poised and leading us to the victory. And nah, man, I'm feeling good. We got Tampa, and you know, they're a good team, but. They just lost to, or no, they just beat Detroit, and they had a bad loss to somebody though. I can't remember. I think
they lost to the Broncos 26-7.
Yes. But which I mean, I don't know if that's an anomaly or what, but you know, Tampa, I mean, hey, they worked us in the playoffs last year. So hopefully we get a little revenge. this time around. But yeah, no, man, I'm feeling pretty good, you know, heading to week four.
I want to go back to what you were saying about Jalen Hurts, and okay. This is the exact reason we started this podcast. It's going to be
here we go
because that's the.
What do you got to say?
That's exactly how an Eagles fan should feel about that game, and this is going to be exactly how Cowboys, because I
wrote down. What do you have to say? Say it with your chest, man.
It's about to be time to have a conversation about Jalen Hurts. He's being completely bailed out by his defense. I've never seen a player turn the ball over as much and then the defense turn around and not give up any. Y'all give up more points on just regular drives than y'all do on after a Jalen Hurts turnover. Mm-hmm. It's actually getting crazy. No matter where he turns the ball over, y'all get a.
Are you referring to this season?
Yes, okay. In these three games, okay. And then, I think y'all won that game in spite of Jalen. I think y'all's defense completely won that game, and then the one y'all scored on a Saquon run, and then the play. That he made the play before that took a sack to make it 3rd and 16, mm-hmm. and then hit Dallas Goedert on a great. It was a great play call. A great run.
Hey, shout out Jahan Dotson on that. That was a heck of a route.
The play does not happen like it doesn't go 60 yards and put y'all in position to win if the players don't run into each other. Again, that part is
shout out to Jahan Dotson. He ran that mesh route perfectly.
That's not something that is.
What are you trying to say, man? Are you trying to say Jalen Hurts is not good? What are you trying to say?
No, I'm trying to say that was lucky. That's not. I wouldn't give.
So, but like you're saying this. You're saying this to say what?
That is the turnovers are becoming a real problem.
He needs to
problem.
Cut down the turnovers. I said that he needs and to cut down the turnovers.
It's gonna come to a point where his defense isn't gonna bail him out.
I'm going to say this. Jalen Hurts needs to cut down the turnovers. I've said that. I'm sticking by it. It needs to happen. He needs to work on that. I will also say that I disagree with you. I feel like once we get fully healthy on offense, we get A.J. Brown back, we get Devontae back healthy, I think we're going to be a 3- or 4-headed monster on offense, and I think we're going to start rolling. I truly believe that. I could be wrong. I could totally be wrong, and if I am, I'll be the first on this show to admit it. But I think that's what's going to happen. I don't think we won in spite of him. The first half, our defense kept us in it in spite of him. I will say that. But, like, no, dude, I'm telling you, like, I can't think of somebody else, and I'm not calling him this. I'm just talking about, like, when you see it. You know what I'm saying? Jordan. You're a LeBron fan, but you know where I'm going with this. Jordan, right? When they needed him, or when he knew it was his time, he took over, right? Like you just saw it. You know what I'm saying? Yes or no?
I don't like.
Oh my God! You can't admit that. Oh my God! Okay, who? I'm not gonna say about who else can I say? I'm not gonna say LeBron. I come on, dude. You can't admit that Michael Jordan, like, you saw that killer instinct in his eyes. Kobe, can we say Kobe?
Okay, that whole killer instinct.
Oh
thing
my
forever.
God, this
real.
Guy here. Okay,
that's
whatever.
That's a made up thing, Jordan.
What? No, it's not. Shut up.
You can't measure it.
My Jordan and Kobe fans out there, y'all know where I'm going with this. All right, when it was time for those fellas to lock in and take over, you saw it in their eyes and they took over.
Oh, you mean like that pick that LeBron Miami, that with him in Boston, that look where he's
LeBron? You know, sure. LeBron, whatever, fine. This guy just wanted to sneak LeBron in there. Whatever. Jalen Hurt, like that, when people say like they have it, like he has that it factor, like that is Jalen Hurts' it factor, bro. I'm telling you, I legit never feel like we're out of a game as long as he's our quarterback. Because I'm telling you, I've never seen it. Dude, last year against Buffalo, right? We came all the way back in overtime. I said it. That was his MVP game. Now, granted, the rest of the season, but like, no, man, I'm telling you, like, I believe in one. Like, I truly do. I truly think, like, when him at his best, like I said, him at his best, we're in any game. Him at his best. And him at his best is him playing his game. What I mean by that is him tucking and running sometimes, him extending plays, right? Him just making on-script throws, which he can do easy, which he can do easy. Him, like, again, the problem with Jalen Hurts is when he tries to press, when he feels like he has to make every throw, when he feels like if he doesn't do this, the game is over. That's when things go haywire. I personally believe in Jalen Hurts. I think he will get us back to the Super Bowl. I think he will finish the job. I don't know if that'll be this year. I mean, it could be. I don't know. I'm not saying nothing. I'm just saying I believe in one long term. That's my guy. I'm riding with him. I see it in his eyes, man. I mean, Saquon said it, dog. He literally said that's the most poised man I've ever met in my life. Can you think of the most poised man you've ever met in your life?
Number four.
No, I said met in your life. I said met. Like you personally know.
I guess my dad.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. You know, for me, honestly, it's probably my guy Brian Tupanimi. I know he's listening somewhere. So shout out to you, Brian. You are probably the most poised individual I've ever met in my life. So yeah, I hear what you're saying about Jalen, but like you said, that is why we made this show. You will try to poo poo on him, and I will have to lift him back up. So I will do that time and time again until proven otherwise.
I think that, like, if I feel like I would have no problem
saying the same
things about Dak.
By the way, I'm gonna say this right now, and I don't care. I know you're gonna disagree. Jalen Hurts is way more poised than Dak Prescott. I don't care.
Jalen Hurts has ended way more games on an interception.
What has Dak Prescott done in the playoffs? What has he done in the playoffs?
Retired Tom Brady,
oh, beat Russell Wilson. Oh, my God. Has
Jalen Hurts' defense ever given up 200-plus rushing
yards? You let me know when Dak Prescott is, like, plays away from winning the Super Bowl. You let me know.
You let me know when Dak Prescott, his route to the Super Bowl is Daniel Jones.
Oh, we're not talking about the route, dog. We're not. We're talking about the poise of your quarterback. We're not talking about We're not talking about the teams you play.
Dak Prescott's mental right now. Dak hasn't lost against the Giants since his rookie year.
We are talking about Dak Prescott's mental.
Yes, his mental against the Giants, impeccable.
That's great. Everybody's just impeccable against the Giants.
That's my point. That's who Jalen Hurts played to get to the Super Bowl.
Dude, we just beat the Saints. We're not talking about... You know what? Again.
How many games has Jalen... I can name you multiple games Jalen Hurts has lost on an interception at the end of the game.
That ain't got nothing to do with poise.
Yes.
No, it doesn't, dude. Oh, my God. Okay.
The same position. The same way he could have won the game. He lost. He threw an interception. That's not poise.
Yeah. What is your definition of poise?
You gave him the game you said against the Bills.
I'm asking you, what is your definition of poise?
No, I agree that what you just said about him, what he did against the Bills, uh-huh. I don't think you said that's poise.
Uh-huh.
But he has less games like that and more games where he shows the opposite of poise, where he ends the game instead of going and scoring on an interception. He just did it this year. And he's done it multiple times in years before.
And Dak's never done that?
No, never.
Dak's never lost y'all a game. He's never lost y'all a game.
No,
that's a flat out lie.
What game has Dak lost?
Hold on. So he didn't lose y'all. He was a part of the reason. I'll say this. He was a part of the reason y'all lost against Green Bay in the playoffs.
No,
that's a crazy thing to say. Oh my goodness!
Name the quarterback who wins the playoff game.
Did he not throw two picks?
Name the player. And what is Jalen Hurts?
Wait a second. Did Dak Prescott not throw a pick six in the playoffs?
What does Jalen Hurts' defense do when he throws picks or turn around and get stopped?
Notice how he brings up the defense when I ask him if Dak Prescott threw a pick six.
Yes, because that's one pick six. They scored 48 points.
But it had nothing to do with quarterback play.
No.
Nothing.
Name the quarterback who wins the game where his defense gave up 48 points. In the playoffs.
No, I'm not arguing against that. I'm just saying, Dak Prescott had nothing to do with y'all losing?
What could he do? How could he win that game?
Okay, Lando.
How could he win that game?
All right, All right.
So you're telling me you would blame Jalen Hurts for a game his defense gave up 48 points? Like I've already told you.
If he threw two pick sixes?
He didn't throw two pick sixes.
If Jalen Hurts played a bad game, listen.
Jalen Hurts just played a bad game against the Saints.
No.
He had two turnovers.
He had a bad first half. He had a bad first half.
He had two turnovers. And Dak put up more.
Against the Saints?
Dak had two turnovers against the Packers. No. Against the Packers, Dak had two turnovers and put up more points than Jalen just had two turnovers and less points. And you just gave him credit for that game.
But y'all's offense, y'all supposed to be rolling in Jerry World, right? Y'all averaged like, what, 40 points in Dallas?
No.
Yes, y'all did. Y'all averaged like 35, 36 points in Dallas. Yes, y'all did.
Because that we ran up scores on the Giants. That's what happened.
Y'all didn't only beat the Giants at home, Lando.
We beat the Giants 40-0.
But y'all didn't only play the Giants at home.
We beat them like 90 to 40.
The Cowboys had the number one scoring offense at home last year.
Okay, and we
y'all didn't only
play
the Giants.
We matched that
against the Packers.
Yes, we were. How many points did y'all put up against the Packers? We were dang close.
How many points did y'all put up against the Packers?
At least 25, in the 20s.
he's looking it up right now. Hey, yo, this
48 to 32.
32 points. Okay, fine, cool. I'm sorry.
The Dak Prescott has been the main for he's been one of the main factors in two of his playoff losses. And one of them he was left flat out to dry. We had nobody to throw the ball to. Because Tony, it was basically what he has now, but because of injuries, it wasn't even the same. Against the 49ers, there was only one year where he had the weapons and just didn't have that bad game. So I'm not going to, and that's one game out of his whole career, and it was against the 49ers in the playoffs.
Can I ask you something?
What?
Is Dak Prescott going to lead y'all to a Super Bowl? I'm not saying this year. One day, is Dak Prescott going to lead y'all to the Super Bowl?
If he gets the help the other quarterbacks get, yeah.
He doesn't have it?
No.
Oh, that's
– Look at the team Jalen had.
I can't even look at you with a straight face right now.
He has to have the team and the luck. Like I said, if Dak was able to play
– See, that's funny because
– Daniel Jones and then Christian McCaffrey
What does Dak not have?
Right now, he doesn't. Well, versus what Jalen had when he went to the Super Bowl.
No. What does Dak Prescott not have right now? Forget about Philly. Forget about every other team. What does Dak Prescott? What is he missing right now?
An All Pro Pro Bowl wide receiver too. All Pro line across the offensive line across the board. All pros at safety and linebacker and D line.
Mm-hmm.
What
all pro do we are you talking about us now?
That's what y'all have when y'all went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it is.
And that's what all the other teams that have when they go to the Super Bowl.
That's not true at all. Joe Burrow, I already know what you're going to say. Joe Burrow had a great defense, but Joe Burrow got sacked 9 times in the AFC Championship game, dog.
Joe, that's his fault.
Oh my God.
I literally have that in my notes about Monday Night Football. Half the sacks Joe Burrow takes are his fault. He has terrible pocket presence and is a statue. I'm not crediting his all of those sacks.
He got sacked nine times.
Four of them were his fault.
Okay, so he still got sacked 5 times.
And another question I have is, how long are we gonna let him live off that Super Bowl?
Joe Burrow?
He's done nothing. He's done nothing.
More than Dak.
No, he hasn't.
He took his team to the Super Bowl. He's done more than Dak.
How long are we going to let him live off
that? You said he hasn't done more than Dak, but he has.
No, because other than that, he's done nothing.
What do you mean other than that? That's what you got to do. Bro,
no,
that is the whole goal.
Getting to the Super Bowl is the goal?
Yes! What do you mean?
Since when is getting to the Super Bowl the goal?
Obviously, winning the Super Bowl is, but you got to get there to win it, right?
Who cares if you get there?
Y'all shut up.
If you lose.
Oh, okay. So let me know when Dak Prescott gets there.
Who cares if you get there?
So let me know when Dak Prescott
never
gets
there again.
I'm going to say this right now. Dak Prescott will never go to the Super Bowl.
Yes, he will.
No, he will not.
And Jalen Hurts will never win a Super Bowl.
And certainly not as a Dallas Cowboy.
Jalen Hurts will never win a Super Bowl.
That's fine.
You know how easy it is to say something because it's never happened?
It's not going to happen.
Jalen Hurts will never win a Super Bowl. You can say that about
him. That's fine.
Him getting to a Super Bowl means nothing.
That's fine.
He got carried there and lost when his team could not do anything.
Feel how you want to feel about it. That's fine.
Playing Daniel Jones.
This guy is so stuck on the Giants. Like
that. Who would not win
them? Oh my gosh. Well, didn't the Giants lose to the Vikings? Oh no, I'm sorry, the Vikings. Did they lose to the Giants?
Kirk Cousins.
Oh,
good job.
Now it's Kirk Cousins.
If you want to argue he's better than Kirk Cousins, will never get to the Super Bowl. Congrats.
Kirk Cousins. I mean, no, but.
Dak Prescott is 10-8. He hasn't lost to them since he was a rookie. 10 straight wins. You think he's losing to the Giants?
It's funny.
No.
You find every excuse in the book to bail out Dak Prescott, which I get. That's your quarterback. But you find every excuse in the book to bail him out.
How?
What do you mean how? You over here talking about like Joe Burrow getting the Super Bowl. I didn't say he won it, but getting to the Super Bowl. You talking about that like that's nothing.
It is nothing when he
So then by that standard, what Dak's done is absolutely nothing in the league then. Because he's done – he hasn't even been to an NFC Championship game.
Because he hasn't gotten the help that these guys have gotten.
But Joe Burrow got sacked 9 times, but it's his fault.
Yes. When you look at him stand in the pocket.
I watched that game, dude.
Yes. When you watch him stand in the pocket and not move and watch people come and sack him, yes, that's his fault.
First off, Washington is better than what people thought. I told you Washington was going to be good this year.
I picked them as my sleeper team.
Yeah, and I picked them to be the second best team in the NFC East. I think I'm going to be right on that one. But we'll see. But I watched that AFC Championship game. Joe Burrow got beat to a pulp. It wasn't his fault that his O-line was Swiss cheese. Period, point blank, the end.
On Joe Burrow's playoff run, defense held the team 19 points.
I didn't say he didn't have a good defense. Points.
That's what I'm saying. In the losses Dak Prescott has had in the playoffs, his defense has never done that.
Well, every year y'all seem to have a good defense on paper, so you tell me, what's the issue then?
We don't always have a good defense on paper.
But that's what it is every season. Can you name one season where Dak Prescott and the Cowboys have walked in and it's been like, oh, y'all's defense is going to be bad?
Every season but last season.
What?
Before Micah Parsons, we had a historically bad defenses with Dak.
Oh, my God.
With Jalen Smith and what? Those were good defenses.
How many seasons have Dak and Micah been teammates?
This is Micah's third season in the NFL, and this is Micah's ninth season.
Is it third? Are you sure it's third?
Yes, because he's due to get paid soon.
Oh no, dog! I think it might be more than his third year. He's looking it up right now. It's fine. Say what you want. If y'all's defense is just not showing up when it mattered most, fine. Fair enough. It is what it is. I'm not a believer in Dak Prescott long term. You're not a believer in Jalen Hurts long term. What is it then? Because I'll tell you right now, I'm not a believer in Dak Prescott. Like for him to lead y'all to the Super Bowl, I'm not. I promise you, I'm not.
Well, I'm not a believer in anybody but Mahomes leading to a team to. Jalen gets a team like he had.
Wait a second. So you don't think any other quarterback is capable of getting their team to the Super Bowl other than Mahomes?
Other than without a complete without dang near getting carried, no.
Josh Allen.
Almost cussed. Heck no.
So you don't think Josh Allen could get the Bills to the Super Bowl?
No. You just said how Dak's never made it to an NFC Championship.
Yeah.
Josh Allen has made it to one NFC Championship.
And he almost beat Mahomes.
No.
Yes, he did. He almost beat Mahomes.
But to get to the AFC Championship, played the Tyler Huntley-led Ravens,
who
his defense led to 3 points.
It's not
just the quarterback.
You have to look at the actual
game.
So Dak has to get lucky. That's what you're saying.
No, he needs to have a full, complete game from the entire team. That's complimentary football. That's a part of the game. That's just what he's never gotten that luxury. You know how hard it is to win a game when your defense is giving up 200 rushing yards, and that's not the Packers. So, that was in 2020 against the Rams.
So for the record, you are saying you don't believe any other quarterback aside from Patrick Mahomes, any other quarterback can get his team to the Super Bowl aside from Patrick Mahomes and win it, quote-unquote carrying the team. You don't think anybody else could do it?
No, I think Matthew Stafford looked at the team around him. He got to the Super Bowl recently. Joe Burrow looked at his line wasn't the best, but that that wasn't the reason he took all those steps. But every other player on his team, amazing across the board.
Mahomes is the only player capable of carrying a team.
Brock Purdy, look at the team around him. Jalen Hurts is doing it. He won the team around him. If you put Dak in any of those situations, he goes to the Super Bowl. And that's include the team around him, the road to the play, the teams they had to play. All of that is encompassed into what took that team to the Super Bowl.
So Josh Allen, Lamar, I feel like I'm missing another name here.
Yes, put them in those situations, those teams go to the Super Bowl.
But I'm talking about them in their current situations. You don't think they could do it? On their respective teams, on the Buffalo Bills and the Baltimore Ravens, you don't think they could do it as currently constructed?
No, the Bills, no. The Ravens, no. Not the teams they have this year, no.
Yeah. Yeah, I disagree with you, but I digress.
I don't think – I mean, the Ravens look good against the Cowboys.
I'm not even rush defense.
I don't think they'll – and then the Bills, I mean, they've actually done a lot better than I thought they would be.
They may have me eat my words.
The Jaguars stink.
They do. But they do.
They still played amazing. Credit them. Completely dog walked them. So I definitely give them credit. They're doing a lot better than I thought. But I don't think they'll – I think Josh Allen is the way – I think he –
What? He's a turnover waiting to happen?
He's too turnover prone to be successful long term.
That's a good argument.
I still think if you could put a team around him where you have multiple Pro Bowl receivers, he's never had multiple Pro Bowl receivers.
Let me ask something. Who do you respect more? Do you respect Patrick Mahomes for winning in spite of everything that he hasn't had? Because if we're being honest, too, he hasn't had it. He's had a good interior O-line. And when I say interior, I mean the right guard, left guard, and the center. Right? He's had a good tandem in there. But his tackles have been atrocious these past couple years. Right? Ever since Mitchell Schwartz, the right tackle, standout right tackle, he retired. Been bad on that side. Juwan Taylor, he's a false start waiting to happen. He literally led the league in false starts. Their right tackle situation, they've been trying to figure that out, or their left tackle situation, excuse me, they've been trying to figure that out for years. Haven't been able to do it. So, you legit think 15, the best player in the game right now, you think he is the only player capable?
Even him. If you look at, he has Hall of Fame players, yes, a Hall of Fame coach, one of the best offensive minds we've ever seen.
Yeah. I'm not arguing against that. I feel like
it's way too many things that go into it to say this guy can lead it to the Super Bowl, and this guy
so
cannot.
So essentially what you're saying is you don't believe in carrying in football. That's what you're saying. Which, you can make that argument, but you're saying you don't believe in that. You don't believe in basketball when they say, right, LeBron carried Cleveland, right? Kobe carried the Lakers.
In the sense, yes, because, I don't think there's people – too many people in situations like that. You can't tell me you carry the team when you're throwing the ball to T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, Joe Mixon.
I can say that Patrick Mahomes, he won the Super Bowl with a bad team, but the worst team he's had.
That's why he's the only one I could give that to and almost give that credit to.
You're right. You can't say someone's carrying when you're throwing the ball to Jamar Chase and T. Higgins, but you can say that when the Bengals draft Joe Burrow and they were in mediocrity for God knows how long, right? They were literally first round playoff edges every year. That's what Marvin Lewis gave them every year. Joe Burrow gets there. They're playing for AFC championships.
He's better than Andy Dalton and Carson Palmer. Congrats. And he has better teams around him than Andy Dalton and Carson Palmer ever had.
I rock with Joe Burrow. I believe in Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow, I'm with you, dog.
And how often are we going to just let him start off seasons
0-3?
Yeah.
No. They got. Listen, I'm gonna say this too. I don't like Zach Taylor. I've never liked Zach Taylor as a head coach. I don't think he's a good head coach. I don't. I mean, hypothetically speaking, now I don't think this guy is a great head coach either. But hypothetically speaking, if Kyle Shanahan was the head coach of the Bengals, I bet you their offense would look a lot better right now. I'm sorry.
I feel like a lot of teams can say like it's the same thing.
Right? No. But like I'm just saying that to say like I don't think Zach like you talked about it before, right? Putting players in positions to succeed.
Yeah.
I don't think Zach Taylor has done a good job of that. I really don't.
Definitely got to give them the same grace. That could be definitely what's wrong. Cause
right. We kind of mentioned this before, man. You know, Houston, the Texans. To me, they were the second best team in the AFC heading into the regular football season. They just got destroyed by the Sam Darnold-led Vikings. Lando, I pose the question to you. And yes, we are only 3 weeks into the season. But I pose the question to you. Are the Minnesota Vikings for real?
I'm calling pretenders.
Again?
I'm not.
Again?
I'm not going for it. Nope. Not. Man. I understand, like, I get the same thing I mentioned earlier, the tunnel vision, but it's like when the same way the 49ers, we could be as good as we want, but mm-hmm. I guarantee you if the 49ers would be like, they don't have nothing for us. Mm-hmm. That's how I feel about the Vikings. No matter who's, we've beaten the Vikings with Cooper Rush, mm-hmm. we've beaten the Vikings with, I think we beat him with Andy 1 year, beat mm-hmm. him with Cooper Rush the next year, mm-hmm. and then straight dog walked him 40-3 with Dak the year after that. I mean, so when it comes to the Vikings, even Justin Jefferson hit Trayvon Diggs always matches up against them. Mm-hmm. From a personal experience, I'm calling pretender. Even the year they won, I think they went 13-3. And
when we beat them when we won the Super Bowl.
No, y'all didn't. That wasn't the y'all didn't play him in the. Y'all beat him in the regular season.
No. I'm saying the year the Eagles won the Super Bowl, we played them in the NFC Championship game. That was when Case Keenum was their quarterback.
No. They just recently, like with Justin Jefferson, they went.
Did they go 13-3?
I think it was the year they lost to the Giants, and then y'all beat the Giants.
You're right. That was. They were definitely pretenders that year. One
of their three losses that year was to us, and I was like, I just don't see it with them. So I'm gonna.
And you still don't see it.
I'm gonna keep that same energy. Sam Darnold, I've always.
What? Where are you at on him?
I've never believed him, even coming out of college. He was a
USC quarterback.
Yeah, he was a quarterback I actually did kind of pay attention to because USC was a team I watched in those years.
There was talk times. I mean, he was the talk of that time.
Right. So
in terms of quarterbacks coming out.
But I was never sold on his ability.
Mm.
So
that's interesting.
I really don't know what's working so well for them. But it's not going to continue. Sam Darnold.
Oh, okay. So he's okay.
Yeah, I mean, if he was that good to be leading like one of the best teams in the NFL, they would have went like he wouldn't have. They wouldn't have lucked into this situation, in my opinion.
Because they
had no plans to start. Was he even on their team?
Sam Darnold. Yeah.
Or did they sign him after McCarthy?
No. Sam Darnold. I'm so glad you brought that up. Speaking as a Michigan fan, right? They were not going to. Kevin O'Connell even said, like, J.J. McCarthy was going to sit this year anyway. He was going to sit, right? Because you had Sam Darnold in there. He was going to sit. So he unless things drastically changed, J.J. McCarthy wasn't going to play this year.
Well, I didn't even know that.
He wasn't going to play this year. That wasn't going to happen. Kevin O'Connell said, like, it was going to be a slow process. We're going to bring him along slowly. They weren't going to play him this year. So I'm glad you brought that up. Now, I'm going to say this about Sam Darnold. I believe in Sam Darnold coming out of USC. What happened was he got drafted to the Jets. And we know, especially back then, right, you go to the Jets, you go to the Browns. If you're a quarterback,
if you're a quarterback and you go to the Jets, the Browns in the past few years, yeah, I mean, the Browns, not well. No, Deshaun Watson, he just sucks. But, I mean, bro, if you went to, if you, like, in the past, what would we say, like, 10, 12 years, if you got drafted to the Jets or the Browns as a quarterback, your career was done. Your career was done. Sam Darnold got drafted to the Jets. And I think Robert Saleh was the head coach then, too. I don't know. He might not have been. I can't remember. But Sam Darnold was not set up for success there either. Here's the thing. And I've been talking about this with people recently, right? When you talk about the Caleb Williams, when you talk about the Jaden Daniels, when you talk about rookie quarterbacks coming into the league, when you talk about quarterbacks in general, right? Everybody wants to talk about, oh, you got to get them the Pro Bowls and the All Pros at the skill positions, right? Wide receivers, running backs, all that jazz, right? That you got to get them the best weapons possible. Do you know what the best weapon is for a quarterback? Is a solid offensive line. All right? Because if you don't have somebody to protect your quarterback, I don't care who you got out there on the outside, man. He's not going to get him the ball. He's not going to get him the ball. All right? Sam Darnold didn't have nothing. Just like you talked about, you know, Dak Prescott, he's missing some pieces. Sam Darnold had nothing in New York. He had nothing. Nothing. And then he went to Carolina, and he looked pretty good in Carolina at the beginning. But Carolina, I mean, they're a joke. All right, we see it now. They're a joke. They don't have the infrastructure to help anybody. Then he goes to San Francisco, right? Learns under Kyle Shanahan for a year, right?
I'm looking at his receiver room his rookie year. It was Robbie Anderson.
Read it off. Deontay Burnett.
J.J. Jones.
Dude, I think Deontay Burnett, I think he was on the Eagles practice squad at one point.
Yeah.
Bro, come on, man.
I think he made y'all's roster.
That's my point exactly.
He's on the Cowboys practice squad right now.
Come on, man.
Look at this.
Listen.
Yeah, a bunch of no-names.
I believe in Sam Darnold's talent. I did. I just feel like he got put in bad situations. And then he went to San Francisco. He learned, right? And then he goes off to Minnesota. He got a pretty good O-line. He got a good running back in Aaron Jones. He has the best wide receiver in football. Excuse me, in Justin Jefferson. I mean, dude, I'm going to say this right now. Speaking of J.J. McCarthy, hey, if Sam Darnold continues this pace and he's the guy, the Vikings could sign him like to a very reasonable deal. And I ain't going to lie, sir. J.J. McCarthy, he might get shipped out. You know, there are a lot of teams in desperate need of a young quarterback. All right, so I'm throwing that out there right now. Are the Vikings for real? You call them pretenders. I'm not going to say they're pretenders. What I will say is I need to see more. I need to see more, but it has been impressive the way they beat. And now, granted, the 49ers, they don't look right. I'm not gonna argue against that. They don't look right, but they beat the 49ers, and then they beat the Texans. They beat them to a pulp. So, yeah, man, Minnesota. I'm keeping an eye on them. I'm keeping an eye on them because them boys look like they can make a run. I could be wrong, but them boys look like they can make a run. I said it before. I want to get this off my chest too. In regards to Buffalo, I said it at the beginning of the season, man, I thought Buffalo was gonna be down and out. One of my coworkers, he's a Buffalo Bills fan, and he shout out Miles, because Miles has been telling me you're wrong. Buffalo, we're gonna be fine, and it appears he may be right. Again, we're only 3 weeks into the season, but they look a lot better than I thought they would. I thought they were gonna come out flat. I thought the offense was gonna look anemic. That does not appear to be the case. The Buffalo Bills are definitely going to have something to say about this postseason. I truly believe. Because here's the thing. I know you don't believe in Josh Allen, but, like, Josh Allen, he's definitely a top 10 player in the NFL. And, like, yes, for all his flaws, I mean, when that dude is on, he is on. Right? And, like, we saw it, dude. He went toe-to-toe with Mahomes. He didn't end up winning, but he went toe-to-toe with him. So, yeah, man, Buffalo, man. Y'all are going to make me eat my words, man. Maybe, right? We'll see. Sean McDermott, he might earn my respect this year, because if you got Buffalo playing their best ball under you with, like,
on paper, like the worst roster, then kudos to you, brother. That's what I like to see. You got any thoughts on Buffalo?
Like I said earlier, I think they're doing a lot better than I thought they would.
Yep.
I think they kind of let go of a lot of their pieces. I thought it kind of set them back, but they're playing like better than I thought they would. So if they can continue that, like it'll definitely be very surprising.
Yeah. Before we get out of here, hold on. I'm assuming I know the answer to this question, but y'all winning Thursday night?
Oh yeah, I think we'll win by at least 3 touchdowns. But again, they won't even get a good job for me. They have everything to lose in this game.
This is the fix-a game.
And nothing to win.
This is the fix-a game.
Do your job, win it, and move on to next week. I think they got the Steelers after that.
Yeah. This is the fix-a game for y'all. I think we'll beat Tampa.
There's been a lot of – I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're good.
There's just been a lot of talking about execution and accountability and hero people
stop talking and start showing.
Yeah, y'all know what y'all are supposed to be doing. Obviously, y'all. Right. This is week 3. CD, right. You tried to use your. You said week 1 was just your. That was your training camp. Mm-hmm. These miscues have got to fix themselves. It's the season's here now, guys.
Yeah.
It's time to start playing like it.
Real quick, did you see the report? I want to ask you about this. Did you see the report that the Cowboys are like in the market for trading for a receiver? I saw the report. I was wondering if you saw it.
Yeah, I did.
Is there anyone, real quick, is there anybody on the top of your head that you'd want to target? I can think of somebody y'all should target.
In a perfect world, Davante Adams.
Okay, come on.
And, I mean,
in reality.
Why wouldn't that be reality?
Davante Adams?
Yes. Hates where he's at right now.
You'd have to give up a lot to get him. Y'all ain't getting Davante Adams.
The Raiders have no leverage.
Y'all ain't getting Davante Adams.
We're not getting anybody.
Hey, you know who I think y'all probably could mess around and get, though? I don't know if he's on the trade block, but you know who y'all probably could mess around and get?
In a perfect world, we go get Amari Cooper back.
In a perfect world, you never give him up.
Yeah.
I think Tyler Lockett out of Seattle.
No, thanks.
No? You don't like him? He's a deep threat.
No, I think he's in the same. Him and Brandon Cooks would give the same. In that production.
Okay, Davante Adams, who else? Another name, real quick.
Well, I'm not going to lie. Before.
I think Tyler Lockett's a realistic possibility. That's just me.
I had another name because when it came up, Amari Cooper.
Who did you think of? Like, okay, aside from Davante and Amari, who did you think of immediately? Like, oh, you know what? Like, he might be a good pickup. If there was anybody. Maybe there wasn't anybody.
I can't think of anybody who's really available right now.
Well, just think of like a team's second or third wide receiver who may not be in the best position right now, best situation. Like who you feel like could benefit from, you know, coming to Dallas.
I don't want a team's second wide receiver.
Okay, Lando, you just...
That's not going to be a move that moves the needle for us.
Getting somebody that can help take coverage off a CD, that's not going to help?
A second wide receiver isn't going to do that.
It depends on the wide receiver.
I don't think there's a good enough. I think most any wide receiver 2 that's good enough is technically a wide receiver 1.
I'm going to say this.
Like Devontae Smith is a wide receiver 1.
Yes. So I'll throw a name out to you because I don't know if this can happen, but like, I would assume he possibly still could be on the trade block. T. Higgins.
Yeah, that'd be a good player. But he wants a contract.
But he's on a franchise tag. So, like, he wanted to get traded. I'm just throwing somebody out there.
But, yeah, somebody like that.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But there aren't too many. I think he's on the same level. I think he's just as good as Devontae Smith.
T. Higgins is number one. Yeah, he's absolutely number one wide receiver. I'm not arguing that. Okay, so
there aren't, honestly, other than like the Panthers and I guess the Jack, there aren't too many teams that are just like
bad at wide receiver.
Not bad at wide, that are just like bad in general to where they're looking to give up
well,
pieces that are currently helping them.
No, but I mean, if you're the Bengals, right? You first of all, if you're the Bengals, you know you're not gonna. First of all, you already knew you weren't gonna sign T. Higgins to a long term deal. Now I know for sure. You know why I know, dude? They drafted Jermaine Burton.
Well, see, like in the city, like T. Higgins is gonna go be the Panthers' wide receiver one. Right, not, maybe not we'll the see. Panthers, not the Sims, but he's gonna go to a he's team gonna go, yeah. and be their number one well, receiver.
Like, hey, man, look, you never know. All right, when we won the Super Bowl, the Dolphins traded us their number one running back, Jay Ajayi. I didn't think that was coming out. I was shocked. All right, so I'm just you never know. You legit never know. That's all I'm saying. But okay, no. You think y'all will steamroll the Giants? Y'all should steamroll the Giants. That's what you're saying.
Yeah,
it's a fix-it game for y'all. I think we'll beat Tampa. I think it might be a close one though. I got to see. We got to see about the health of Devontae. I don't anticipate AJ Brown playing. I could be wrong, but we got to see what's going on with that.
Where'd that injury come from?
Who, AJ?
Yeah.
I think he pulled his hamstring in practice. You know, hamstrings are tricky, bro.
Yeah.
Because, it was after the first game against Green Bay, so I'm pretty sure he pulled it in practice. I think we'll pull it out against Tampa. I think it might be a close game, though. Like I said, depending on our health with, you know, Devontae, AJ, and all the other guys. But, yeah, man. Hey, that's a wrap for episode 4. Thank y'all for tuning in. This is Birds at the Rodeo Podcast. I'm Eric, your resident Eagles fan.
I'm Orlando, the resident Cowboys fan.
And this is Birds at the Rodeo. All right, we're literally everywhere now. We're Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Podcast Index, like everywhere. We're coming to YouTube very soon. So, hey, man, thank y'all for listening. Keep tuning in. And we'll catch y'all next week. Adios.
Later.